Welcome to the ROTC Scholarship Podcast, hosted by former Army ROTC Professor of Military Science, Lieutenant Colonel retired Rob Kirkland. In these episodes, we explore how to best prepare yourself to obtain one of these valuable scholarships for those applicants who wish to attend a college or university and become officers in the military. The application process can be complex and confusing. This podcast works to make it more understandable. And now, the ROTC Scholarship Podcast. Welcome back to the podcast today. I'm really excited about this. We're going to be talking about Sea Cadets today. We have two guests here today with us, Danielle Stoltz and Patrick Nasdio, who they're both senior leaders with Squadron 1 in Lakehurst, New Jersey. It's great to have them on here today and to kind of just focus on what I think is a significant organization for developing military propensity, but just learning more about the Navy and having a lot of fun when you're in middle school and high school. So really happy to have them on here today. Danielle and Patrick, can you kind of introduce yourself and just talk about sort of how you became leaders in the Sea Cadet?
My name is Danielle Stoltz. I am not only a parent, but an instructor at Sea Cadets here in Lakehurst, New Jersey. My oldest daughter started when she was 10. She's now 17. And then I have a sixth grader who's been in since she was 10, who's going to be 12. And that's how I got, well, started off as a parent. And then I just stepped in April as an instructor here.
I'm Patrick Nasdio. I've got two sons who went through the program. And similar to Danielle, I just kind of got sucked in. I started off as a parent. And next thing, the vacuum hit me and pulled me on in. It's just an awesome program. And when I saw my oldest son, who's 25 now, he played Pop Warner football with a couple of guys who were in this unit, in the Lakehurst unit. And they got talking about it. And he asked me if he could give it a try. So we reached out to a couple of units. And actually, a different unit responded back before the Lakehurst unit did. So we went with that one. And the experience has just been awesome for him. And his little brother, who is 6 years younger than he is, would come with me to pick him up. So he got to see all the cool stuff. We'd get there a little bit early to see what was going on. He was all about it. Just the structure, not only the cool uniforms and all that kind of stuff, but just doing the cool stuff that the Sea Cadets do that we can expand on in the coming discussion. But yeah, just it really was just an awesome thing for him. So he got into it as soon as he could. Pressured and hammered the advisors until they let him in on his 10th birthday. At the time, he had to be 10 and a half, and he pushed, and he got a waiver, I guess. I'm not sure how he did it, but he just warmed that in, and he reached the highest level that the league cadets, the middle school age kids, he reached the highest level cadet that they could get, which was kind of interesting, a ship's leading petty officer, and he was pretty impressed with that. He walked around puffed up for a while with that.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. And how old is your youngest son?
Oh, now he is 19. He didn't go through the high school age program. He got into high school football. He wanted to keep his grades up. So he really weighed his options and decided that he was going to let the Sea Cadet program go to focus on football and wrestling and things that he thought would be more beneficial for his combination. And the good thing was all the discipline and the finer points of personal growth that he learned in the program, even at the middle school level, was just really impressive to him. And he's carried with him still to this day. He still pushes himself and still shows the discipline that he needed, that he developed to get on through. Proud to say we got his grades just a couple of days ago, and he is Dean's List for the second semester in the first semester of his second year.
Your experience with Sea Cadets reminds me of my experience with Civil Air Patrol, which is similar in some ways to Sea Cadets, but parents getting involved because of their children got so much out of the program. And so I really appreciate you guys continuing to influence young kids who are either in, you know, middle school or high school, or maybe even younger than that. And even though your children may have already progressed through the organization. So thanks for still making that contribution and helping develop kids and continuing to have them experience this great program. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of the Sea Cadet program itself, the history and mission, and sort of what the objectives of the program are?
the current iteration of the Sea Cadet program got started in 1958. We're sponsored by the Navy League with the goal of exposing young people to Navy maritime culture, Navy Coast Guard. Some of our cadets even went into the Merchant Marine Academy too. So we've got quite a maritime tradition going, even recently, just in the past few years around here. But the good thing about it is it's not solely focused on Navy tradition and Navy culture, maritime culture. It also goes into just the generic military experience for the kids. So some of the cadets may not want to go into the Navy. We have quite a few actually who go right into the Army instead of the Navy from us, but they still use the training and the different exposures that they get here for that end as well. We don't, the two units I've been with, the U.S. Navy Weapons Station Earl was the unit that my two sons were in, and here in Lakehurst, and everybody's thrown into the mix either here or up at Earl. Same thing was they all worked together, they traveled together, they ate together, and it was good because it taught the older kids they do need to monitor themselves and not watch what they say when the younger ones are around and things like that. Life is not all about them hanging out with their friends and being raunchy. They have to remember there are younger people around them and there are people who don't want to hear it, regardless of how young they are. So a lot of personal growth goes on with these cadets as well.
Patrick, why would someone join Sea Cadets? Who's the perfect candidate to join Sea Cadets? Or what are some different types of candidates that would join Sea Cadets?
In my opinion, the cadet, the young people that join the cadets are just a cut above their peers. The younger ones might be a little undeveloped. Is that a good word for it?
Mm-hmm.
They're motivated. They have a desire to learn. And the good thing about the program is it's so diverse. We're not just swabbing the deck. We're not just doing these crazy things. We're doing a lot of fun things that really expose them to all kinds of things. I mean, I've taken cadets down to the Coast Guard Air Station in Atlantic City, and where they met female rescue pilots, female helicopter pilots. And the first, at the time, she was the first, I think it was master chief or senior chief rescue swimmer. So it exposed, those kinds of programs were good because it brought in not just the girls who hey, I can be like her, which was important to me because I wanted them to have a role model. Now the males can look at any Chuck Norris movie, I want to be like that, right? But the young women don't have that. So I wanted them to show, hey, you don't have to be, I'm trying to be politically correct here. You don't have to be a big monster. You can be intelligent. You have to be a physical brute. You can use your mind in different ways. And the pilots were great because it appealed to both the males and the females. And we actually set the trip up initially for the female cadets. And when the boys found out about it, like, hey, we want to go. So I was able to expand the program out, expand the invitation out. And we had a great trip that way to expose them to not just the theory and the classwork, which we do a lot of classwork with, but there's also the practical application. So we get the kids that are interested, not just in who sit around and listen to their grandparents' stories. I guess the kids today listen to grandparents would be Vietnam era people, but they actually get a chance to get out and experience a lot of the different things that can open their eyes to it. So there's no, I guess that I went the long way to say there's no really cookie cutter candidate.
And I think a lot of our summer experiences are catered to different types interest. And I think that's what sets us apart from other Civil Air Patrol and Sea is that we have the summer trainings that are all different. There's cooking, there's sailing,
construction.
There's like,
they have what they call the field ops where they put the older cadets out in the woods for 2 weeks and teach them land navigation and
survival
and things like that. So there's a lot of different things that they get involved in. And it's a worldwide program. So that we've had cadets go to Scotland for a summer training. And it's a similar schedule to the reserves. It's usually a weekend, a month. We get together and drill. And then during the summer, they typically do a two-week train. The older cadets, the high school age, the Sea Cadets. Actually, I can break that down now. It's the high school aged group is called the Sea Cadets. And the middle school age kids are the Navy League Cadets. They wear the same uniforms. Like I said, we train them together. We drill them together. But the two different programs really separate themselves when it's time for training, to go away training. And they can go all over the country for most of their trainings. And they get an opportunity to travel internationally too.
And they're very affordable. I mean, for the week. Sorry, I'm just getting over a cold.
And they have and sometimes there's their own concurrent trainings where they'll have the mess training, the cooking training, dining, whatever they're called, culinary specialist, I guess they're called now, training will run concurrently on a training base where another state unit is doing something else. So they get the actual experience of cooking for groups of hungry people. So it worked out that way in some of the instances as well. So it helps keep the cost down too.
And the other branches do partake in our trainings. We've had the Coast Guard step in. My daughter did the sailing up in upstate New York. We've had the Air Force come in and do pilot, backdoor pilot training for the younger, no, the older, I should say, the high school kids, the Sea Cadets. And then the younger ones will usually do a kind of scaled down training than the Sea Cadets. And then they can do the, you know, the more intense half when they get to the Sea Cadet training when they reach that level. So it's all levels of by different branches of the military on every kind of military base you could think of. I mean, I've driven both of my girls to, last summer was 3 different states. Summer before was 4 different states, Washington, New York, Virginia Beach, and Pennsylvania. So as long as you can get them there, it's, the trainings are $175, and that's soup to nuts. That's the whole week. They sleep, they eat, everything is taken care of by volunteers. They learn things that they would never learn in summer camp or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or even Civil Air Patrol or Young Marines. Like, this is what sets Sea Cadets apart, is that we have those affordable trainings in the summer that they get these experiences that they would never have anywhere else.
And as a national unit, or actually an international unit, we've had representation at some very large historic events. We had Sea Cadets as part of the Color Guard, part of the Color Guard for President Reagan's funeral ceremony. We had Sea Cadets, well, there weren't, we wouldn't have them our person, but they were the British Sea Cadet unit had part of Color Guard for the Queen's funeral recently.
Who was a Sea Cadet herself? The Queen of England.
She really? Oh, wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that's awesome. I think the other area that I think is really appealing to that, I think for any of these like Civil Air Patrol or Young Marines, is the rank structure. I mean, the ability to kind of move up the ranks and then the leadership that the Sea Cadet members can exercise as they get older. Can you talk a little bit about how the rank structure works and how a member there can like move up in the ranks and become the leader within their Sea Cadet squadron?
So just like ROTC or JROTC, JROTC has Let 1 through Let 4, which moves them up a level, which also can move up in rank. But it's different because with JROTC, it's more of a doing process to go up a level. With Sea Cadets, it's how much, like we used to do in-class education, that would move them up in rank, but now everything is on the computer. So we have all of our training modules open all month for them to go in and do the trainings in Magellan. And as quickly as they can get them done is as quickly really as they can move up the rank.
With time in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's age requirements to move from a Lee cadet to a Sea cadet, but a 10-year-old can move up pretty quickly doing those trainings in addition to the 75 hours required once a month here, as well as the 1 week a year in the trainings elsewhere.
Oh, how many students are in your squadron?
We have 14 students right now, cadets.
We're going through rebuilding right now. We had a rebuilding time. Some people left. Some people decided they wanted to pursue other interests. So we're starting
COVID
to rebuild. Yeah, COVID took a big hit. Yeah.
Yes.
Things ebb and flow. And that's the point, though, right? They're going through the program to progress onto better things. So you're doing your job that way, right, when you're rebuilding your squadron.
Yeah, and that's what we like to think of, too. And I really enjoy seeing the development when they come in, even if they come in high school, but they come in green with no experience, no knowledge, and see how they develop and see how they respond to it and how they grow into the roles that they're pursuing. It really is pretty rewarding for me to see that.
Which is the whole purpose of me as a parent starting off. I grew up, we say up north. We live in a very shore, beachy kind of sheltered. Down here. I wanted my children to not have fear walking somewhere, to be able to change a tire, to not fear pulling off the road and if their car broke down. I wanted them to have the self-confidence that I had growing up. And I felt down here that wasn't going to be possible because they are very sheltered. I saw my neighbor's son and heard about his experiences with survival tactics and reading a map, being able to start a fire if you needed to keep yourself warm. I feel like a lot of the kids wait to be fed or wait to be served upon. I wanted my children to be able to, if you need something, you go get it yourself. If you want to, you're hungry, you go make yourself a sandwich. Like, there's nobody here in life to serve you or help you survive, really. And I saw a huge growth from my oldest daughter from the age of 10, even to 14, that looking a person in the face when you speak to them. I'm a counselor at the nearby high school. I can't tell you how many students I have. I'm a counselor. I'm here to talk, and they come in my office to talk and they don't even look me in the face, or they're very short answers, or nothing's elaborated on. It's almost like I want to say to them, why did you come in my office? But with my oldest, that's how she kind of started out. Short answers, very kind of shy, but everybody's personality is different, and personality you cannot change with anything, but you can flourish a child. You can flourish their interests. You can spark their imagination when you're bringing out things that they're usually not exposed to. And I feel like these type of programs do that. They expose them to things that they would normally never see. Even in Girl Scouts, we were in Girl Scouts. It's just not the same at all. And that's what I wanted for my daughters, to be able to be self-confident.
We don't hold back. We don't let them go all out, but we don't break them down because they're girls or they're young. We get in there and let them work. Now we let the lead cadets work with each other, but even there, it was males and females mixed up in there together too. A little more age, because no matter how good you are, you get a high school senior football player whipping around a little 10-year-old. There's a problem. And we kind of kept it created by age, but not by gender. And so everybody got the benefit of it, and everybody got the confidence boost.
Sounds like it's just has a tremendous amount of benefit for students that are that age, that they're so impressionable, and that this can just make a huge difference in their life. But similar about my life and my experience with Civil Air Patrol and the experience and how it kind of changed the trajectory of my life. So I was just interested in, I'm sure you all have seen a number of people go through the program as well as your own children. And I know some of them make the decisions to go into the military, but then some of them make decisions to do other things. So do you have any examples of some success stories that you've seen of people that have moved through the program, either military or non-military, that whatever trajectory they decided to go?
I myself have had two students who were sea cadets, one of which went to the Merchant Marine Academy. He just graduated last year. He actually invited me to his graduation, and I got to go up there and see the graduation. He's currently somewhere in the sea in a submarine. He was a cadet of mine before we were an ROTC at my high school. We didn't have funding. It costs a lot of money to run a JROTC before you're funded. And I ran a military club quite like an ROTC was run, except it was after school. So it was 3 days a week. We were out on the weekends doing volunteer work, but he came in very reserved, very quiet, not very confident, but knew that he wanted to take the military route after graduation. I can tell you with 100% confidence that when he graduated and he got into the Merchant Marine Academy, and then he graduated from the Merchant Marine, a totally different student. He gave a presentation. He received a scholarship from DAR, which is the Daughters of American Revolution. They invited him back to last year to present at their dinner. And he sent me the video, and I was blown away. Honestly, I, in a million years, would never, if you would have asked me which one of my thousands of students would have gotten up in front of a room of people to speak, that would not have been my first choice. But I have to tell you, he did a beautiful job, and it just being in this program gave him such confidence, as well as the military club that, you know, unfortunately we didn't have our ROTC back then, but so he wasn't able to get an upper rank when he went into the Merchant Marine Academy, but he was through Sea Cadets. So there's that benefit as well. When they enlist or even apply to an academy, that does give them an upper hand on their application and their resume. Just the experiences alone and the volunteer work and being in the community, it definitely, I can tell you firsthand, from I read resumes for a living, and there is, I mean, my own daughter's resume was 5 pages long. So it definitely sets a student apart from other students. And I say this to my students all the time. you are in a sea of smart, other smart students. You have to find something that sets you apart and makes you shine. And this is definitely something that does that.
And on my side, I've had out of one graduating class of Sea Cadets, we had a brother and sister go to, one went to the Coast Guard Academy, one went to the Merchant Marine Academy. And actually, they're both in the Coast Guard now. One got a scholarship to Norwich. There were two brothers. One brother was in that group and one was the year behind or 2 years behind. The older brother got a scholarship to South Carolina. And while he was doing his training, his brother graduated and jumped into the Army also. And he's in the 160th Aviation Regiment now, or at least he was last time I heard. I kind of lost touch with him. The older brother was getting involved once he got through his education, got his commission. He moved into the special ops community and obviously doesn't talk much about what he's doing now, but there's been a lot of successes there, military side. But on the side, I mean, some kids got out, took their education, took their motivation and discipline. And one young lady started her own house cleaning company and she's knocking it out of the park. She's 20 and this kid is knocking it out of the park running her own business. Again, with the confidence that she had and she developed. But it really is just there's so much that can be done with it. And one thing actually I wanted to go back and address for the parents who may be thinking about this for as an option for their youngsters is we go through as adult advisors, we go through a lot of screening. We go through a background check. We go through seminars on appropriate behaviors. I guess the best word for it. So to make sure that we're not teaching bad habits. Out there who may be thinking about it or maybe curious about it, we're very tightly regulated. We're regulated by our headquarters down in Washington, D.C. We have a district oversight as well as a regional oversight. So we get a lot of oversight on us. So for parents out there who may be thinking or maybe a little leery about letting their especially the younger middle school aged children, there's a lot of control, a lot of oversight.
And how many advisors are there usually per squadron?
Five of one gender cadet per adult. That gender adult. So and we have policy like, you know, you can't a single adult, regardless of gender, a single adult cannot be alone one-on-one with a cadet. There's got to be either multiple cadets or at least another adult in there. So there's a lot of regulation and oversight, security for both the cadet and for the officer involved.
That's important. I think that's definitely important. And yeah, it's good to see that. I mean, I think from my time in back in the 70s and early 80s versus now, the change is tremendous. I'm sure the parents are really encouraged to hear that. I wanted just to address one other thing just that maybe we didn't cover was the commitment. Doing this in either middle school or high school, you meet like one day a month or is it one day a week? And then I know your summer training, is that mandatory or optional? What can a typical student consider for a commitment? I know usually you could probably do much more if you wanted to, right? As optional.
Correct. So we typically in regulation require 75 hours per year to be able to even register for a training session. So there different units do different things. We have access to a 26 room, our own building on Lakehurst Base. It's our building. We have sleeping facilities. We have kitchen facilities. We have classroom facilities. So our cadets stay for the weekend. They're dropped off at 8 a.m. Saturday morning, and they're picked up by 3 o'clock on Sunday. In between that, we do have kids who do sports. So we might have 10 cadets at 8 a.m., and we might have 15 at 2 o'clock on that Saturday, depending on, we do understand, we understand that kids have other things to do, other sports, family obligations. So but as long as they have 75 documented hours for the year, they are able to register then for a lead cadet can do a week training. We have winter trainings. We have spring trainings. We have summer training. So we do work with time with other summer camps and vacations and whatever else you have going on in the summer. So, but pretty much that's, and then as a sea cadet, you're able to register for longer trainings, 2 weeks.
And multiple trainings.
And multiple trainings.
If you can schedule it, you can do two or three mm-hmm. trainings in the summer.
Wow, that's great. That differs from junior ROTC where they do it during the school day and then say Air Patrol where they do it one evening a week. It looks like Sea Cadets does it like one weekend a month.
It's similar to the reserves, if you look at it that way. But it really is the things that they get to do is it's amazing. And here, this, when I joined up with this unit, I've only been with this unit a couple of months, and it was the overnight was quite a shocker to me because, quite frankly, I didn't want to sleep here. But you know, We're here 24/7 with the cadets. As long as there's a cadet in the building, there's going to be officers here. And that's what, yeah, we set up the kitchen. We did everything we had to do. And good thing is they learn, they make the bunks. The senior cadets teach the younger cadets how to make up the bunk properly, how to stow their gear, how to hang their uniforms. They set up, they clean the dining hall. They don't touch the food. They don't prep the food. We prep the food, but they clean up. They pitch in. They don't just, we keep telling them, look, you're not home. There's nobody to clean up after you. You guys got to clean up. And we've actually had the base captain. Well, this is a unique because it's a joint base, McGuire-Dixon, Lakehurst. And we're, the Air Force actually administers the complex, but I guess he's the senior Navy officer here, is a captain. And he came by the other day to see how things were going. And I like to think that our cadets suitably impressed him.
Can you just kind of give us your closing thoughts about Sea Cadets and what final messages you might want to give to either parents or are potential members of Sea Cadets, that middle schoolers or high schoolers that are out there listening? What's your message you would send to them for those in our list?
So if you're looking for something for your child to do, you could go to cadet.org and you fill out an interest form right on there, and it puts you in touch with the closest unit to where you live. From that point, we then get in touch with the parent, invite them into the unit, have them come and see what we're all about, and then they can make their decision as to whether or not they want to join our unit, any unit that is. And then from there, we kind of take over. So everything is supplied, the uniforms, there is a small fee for the child to join. And then we do drill fees on the weekends just to pay for the food and that sort of thing. But it's kind of easy. Just go online, just like anything else. And then from that point, like I said, we kind of take over from there.
And that's it. As far as the uniforms go, our uniforms are standard current issue Navy uniforms. The only difference is the name tapes, and we have a flash to make sure people can tell us apart, because some of our older cadets, you'd be tough to tell from active duty. The thing too is we're not just military based. We do a lot of community service work. We get a lot of last minute things. We work very closely with different VFWs, which I guess you could pull the military in that way, but it's not just military development for the cadet. There's a lot of personal growth involved in it as well. They learn service through working with older VFW members. In the past, we've gone to do Christmas parties at
senior centers,
and there's a retired, like a nursing home for military personnel up in Middlesex County, and we were there for a while with them during Christmas time and stuff. Which it's important for them to understand that it's not all about you. You need to serve. You need to help other people and go through some personal growth that way. So we're not just one dimensional. We've got a lot of different things going on. We push academics. We tell the student, if there is a conflict between Sea Cadets and schoolwork, you do your schoolwork first and you come catch up with us when you can. They get recognized, they get honor roll, they get a ribbon for their uniform, which is actually one of the higher placed ribbons on their uniform, on the ribbon bar. So there's a lot of personal growth involved in it. As far as picking a unit, the parents can pick any unit they want to go to. We prefer to keep it close by just to make it more convenient. We don't want them to get all fired up on it and then have the parent go, oh, I don't want to drive 3 hours to do this today, especially if it's not an overnight drill. I mean, we've got people coming in from Pennsylvania. We got people coming in from Jersey, yeah. New York. So for them to do it, it makes me feel good that they want to come down this far for our unit. But it's sometimes it can be a little testy for the parents who don't want to, if the cadet doesn't drive, they've got to drive this far. And if we're not an overnight unit, they got to drive twice a day for the weekends, four time round trip, two round trips each day. So that can cause a drop off in attendance if the parents decide it's not worth it for the student. So if they get one close enough to the house or one that is properly aligned with the cadet, and we're different. We're on an Navy Air Engineering Center here in Lakehurst. So we're a squadron. We have some that are on Navy bases, and they're set up differently. So their focus is more. We have access to an Army National Guard Black Hawk helicopter hangar 5 minutes away from us. Behind us, we have the hangar that the Hindenburg was stowed in before she wasn't. A little bit of history for the building that we're in. This building at one time was an officer's quarters, a bachelor officer's quarters, and it was used as the triage center for the victims of the Hindenburg. So we tell some of the cadets when they're going to sleep that sometimes maybe some ghosts or something just to keep them on their toes. But other than that, so there's a lot of different choices they can make. The ultimate decision is the parents, but there's to be the most convenient for the parent, it would be the closest unit to the parent more often than not. The good thing about it, like you said earlier, Colonel, was the different groups of friends you have. And we've had some kids who had trouble making friends in school come here and fit right in and flourish here because it's a different group of people. And everybody here wants to be here and understands what the requirements are, what the mindset is.
And there's no limitations. We have cadets who have learning disabilities. We have cadets who have health issues. There's no hindrance. We make adjustments. We'll do whatever we need to do to make them fit in. So that shouldn't be a factor that prevents any cadet from joining us.
Well, that's really awesome. So, Trisha, what's your thoughts on all of this?
When we always talk about the scholar athlete leader, we promote that phrase over and over again when kids are thinking about applying to the academies or ROTC scholarships. And an opportunity like Sea Cadets just builds students up for the perfect scholar athlete leader profile. But it also, no matter what you do, if you decide the academy, the military is not for you, it's going to set you up so well for life. Just from talking to you guys, it's very clear. So thank you for your expertise and just giving that perspective.
Before we started this podcast, I was telling both Danielle and Patrick how it changed my life in middle school, how I got a friend in Civil Air Patrol when I was in seventh grade, just kept bugging me to join like an organization like Sea Cadets. And I finally relented and went, and I just loved it from the first day that I went. And it pretty much, I don't think I would have gone into the military if it wasn't for like an organization like Sea Cadets. I don't think I would have done that. I think I would have done something else in my life. And so it's very clear that this was a pivotal time in my life. And senior members that I had were highly influential in my development as a person. So the impact you can make, and as a senior member, being the teach, coach, and mentoring these young people, as well as the cadets themselves, and how their life has changed because of it, is just very, very important. And so I encourage everyone to check out Sea Cadets. If you live near a squadron, to check it out and to just be a part of something that can truly change your life. So I'm so appreciative, Patrick, of both what you and Danielle do with Sea Cadets. And thank you for everything and for your service really in Sea Cadets. It's making a difference in young people's lives. So we're going to include the links to Sea Cadets on the website and the portal in our show notes. So thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, thanks. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the ROTC Scholarship Podcast. If you like what we're doing, please leave a quick review. If you have any questions or want more information about ROTC or our consulting services, please visit our website at rotcconsulting.com. Take care, and we'll see you next time.